building $1 million cleaning company with zero cleaning experience. Lesson number 7. This is all about fulfillment. So my goal is to show you how to build a $1 million cleaning business, even if you have zero cleaning experience. If you do have zero cleaning experience, well, you'll see exactly how to fulfill a cleaning service. Super important to do. If you have cleaning experience, well, you will learn and you'll discover how to create cleaner clones of you. Also very, very important. And so I have learned in my 10 years of being in business that there's 4 ways to learn a skill, or at least I have done. I've learned a skill in 4 different ways. And so I want to share those 4 skills with you first before we dive into the skill of cleaning fulfillment. And so the first skill I learned after 7 years of owning a gym, I knew that like the business of owning a gym, it just wasn't for me. Like I didn't feel it, right? I wanted financial, I wanted time freedom. And upon stumbling upon the cleaning business, like I discovered that it had great margins, right? It was in high demand and the operations, they seemed really simple. The only problem was that I just didn't have any cleaning experience. And so fortunately, these 4 strategies that I had learned previously to acquire skill, they came in handy in this specific situation. So before I tell you about how I learned the skill of cleaning, let me tell you about these 4 unique strategies first, and maybe they'll apply to you as well. And they're in no particular order, okay? And so the first way I've learned a skill before is I've just worked for free. And so the first time that I did that was about 5 months from graduating from college. I was getting ready to graduate an exercise science degree, and I had 0 leads for getting myself a job in the fitness industry. And in fact, I had never worked in the fitness industry. I had tried to apply for personal training positions. Of course, I got rejected. I tried to apply for like front desk positions, like making people's smoothies and their coffees and folding towels. And apparently I wasn't good enough for that either. I even tried to be like a cleaner, like someone who walked around and cleaned the equipment, and denied. So out of desperation, I searched personal trainers in Bozeman, Montana. And in my head, I was like, I'm just going to reach out to all these personal trainers and see if I can work for them, right? For free. And so 1 month later, I got 1 response back. And it was from this trainer named Sean. And so Sean was a strength conditioning coach for the local high school, and he was a personal trainer at a big gym in Bozeman, Montana. And so Sean ended up becoming my very first mentor. And he taught me everything about the personal training industry. He taught me things I didn't even know that I needed to know. And it was one of those moments that I learned more in that first week of shadowing him than I had learned in my previous 5 years in college. And I was like, wow, I should have just done this right when I got out of high school. And I ended up shadowing him for 6 months, absolutely free, didn't get paid a single dime. And because of that, he ended up giving me an opportunity to get in front of the right people who hired people who worked at the gym he worked at. And he got me my first job. And my first job was a front desk attendant. And I made $7 an hour. And I was making espresso coffees, Americanos, frappes, lattes, whatever they were. Like, I don't drink coffee. So I was like, it was actually really uncomfortable for me to learn how to make coffee. And I didn't understand any of the language. It was really fun. And then of course I made smoothies and all that stuff and folded towels. I got really good at towel origami, total side point, but I did that. And taking that job, it got me the next contact I needed to know, which was the guy inside that gym who actually hired personal trainers. And his name was Josh. And Josh and me developed a good relationship because I saw him every single day. I always talked to him. I had a good personality. And when the time came open for a personal training position and popped up, it was between me and like 4 other people who were also my co-students who were about to graduate with me. They all had better grades than I did. They were all like getting ready to go to PT school, and I ended up getting the job because I worked myself in. So that's how I get my first personal training job. And I ended up spending 2.5 years being a personal trainer at that gym. And I was able to sharpen my skills before I ended up being able to create creating my own business, which was amazing. Right. So like super grateful for that opportunity to work for free because it fed me for the next 10 years, right? The next 10 years, it allowed me to live and survive. And oops, I'm gonna go back here. And it taught me the skill of personal training. So one of my favorite ways is work for free, right? So again, not everybody can be in that position, but if you can, it's amazing. Okay, let's talk about skill number two that I learned how to acquire a skill is I learned how to serve. And so I'm gonna tell you about a story about a networking group. I'm starting the story with about a networking group that I attended every Thursday morning. It was called the Biz Group. It was a networking group. And I did it every single morning. And it was in that networking group that I ended up meeting this guy named Mike. And so Mike just seemed like an ordinary dude in an ordinary networking group on a Thursday morning in Bozeman, Montana, with an ordinary business where he sold blinds. Well, it was one day when he was talking about his rental properties that my ears perked up a little bit. And I was like, huh, properties, it was plural, it means more than one. I'm like, who is this guy? I thought to myself. And like at that time, I was like really interested in real estate investing. I'd read Rich Dad Poor Dad. I was like, passive income, that's the way to go. Like, I need to make money while I'm sleeping. And real estate seemed like the best way to do it. And so when I sat down with Mike, I discovered the dude was like super successful. Again, at that time, I think he had like $40,000 in cash flow from his real estate. I'm like, $40,000 cash flow, that seemed like astronomical. It's crazy. This dude's amazing. And so I just wanted to learn how he did it so then I could potentially do it as well. And I know you could definitely help me, but I thought to myself, like, how was I going to help him? And so I started to really think, dive deep, like, what could I do? What could I offer him, right? Because it definitely wasn't money, definitely wasn't business expertise. But I thought to myself, was he interested in losing weight? I mean, who isn't interested in like losing weight, or who isn't interested in improving? That's kind of what I thought to myself, right? And so I was charging about $60 per session. And I was like, if I trained him twice a week, that would be like $480 a month. I was like, okay. So if I proposed that instead of him paying me $480 a month, that I could train him for free in exchange for me to learn about real estate, do you think he would take it? I was like, I think that's a pretty good offer. And so I proposed it to him and he said yes. And for the next 8 months, we chatted about real estate. But really what I got out of it was not the skill of real estate, because ultimately, like, there's only so much knowledge that you can take before you actually need to take action. But I got the relationship, and that turned out to be the asset that I got from serving Mike. And 4 years later, we ended up buying our first investment property together. And that was like a really like full circle moment. And today, we actually own $3 million of real estate as partners together. And so like it all started by me figuring out, how do I serve this guy? How do I serve him? It's like one of my favorite ways to learn a skill is like, what do I already know that someone else might want to know, and just give it to them, right? And just be somebody who gives and gives and gives. And I never expected anything. Like, I figured I would probably learn something from him, but I didn't ever know I was going to build a relationship with him. Didn't ever know we could buy real estate together. I didn't know he was going to become a partner of mine. Didn't know he was going to be somebody who I end up becoming like an actual friend of mine. Serving, I think, is one of my favorite things to do, because it's just fun to be able to share what I know with somebody else. And so if you look at your life and see, what am I good at? And if you want to be able to get closer to somebody, you want to be able to build a connection with somebody, it's like, just go help them, right? Just offer, like, make the offer to them. The worst thing you can do is say, how can I help you? Like, then you put it on them to figure it out. Like, you figure it out. You have the courage to say, I have this skill set, I think you might like it, and be okay if they say no as well, right? And like, think about something else. So one of my favorite ways to learn a skill is to serve. Okay, the third way is actually to get paid to learn. This might be one of my favorite ways. And so the first time I really experienced this is when Alex approached me to do high ticket sales for his company, Gym Launch. And I was honored that he reached out to me and wanted me to do that, but I had my doubts. I was nervous to say the least, because the program he asked me to sell was over $100,000. And I had never sold anything close to that. So my fears, my doubts, they were like, I'm not sure if I can do this. But I agreed, right? I agreed because I knew that it would be an amazing experience for me. I really wanted to help Alex out as well. I felt like it would be a huge win-win situation. And so his internal sales training was straightforward. It was really simple. It comes to find out that like selling $100,000 things is pretty much the same thing as selling $10,000 things, or selling $1,000 things, or selling $100 things. It's just there's an extra zero on the end. I learned the process. I practiced the words. I listened to the recordings. I did like still trainings with Alex himself. And it was amazing because after all that training, it was probably about a week of training that I did. And after that, I started getting on like live calls. Like every time I made a sale, I ended up getting paid twice, right? Once I got paid a commission, right? I got paid pretty well, but most importantly, I got paid with experience, right? And so I was getting paid to learn a skill that will serve me for the rest of my life. And so that skill that I have now, selling $100,000 high ticket services, it'll be with me forever. And it's something that nobody can take away. Like the money can go away, the job can go away, but the skill of being able to sell high ticket services will be with me forever, and it will feed my family forever. Whether I choose to use it or not is up to me, but that is an amazing way to actually acquire a skill, is being paid to learn. It is like so cool and so critical. And so I think so many entrepreneurs, they start up and want to do their own thing. And I think that's great. Like there's so many ways to learn skills. Like we're only sharing ways to learn skills here. But if you want to do my favorite, is like go work for a successful entrepreneur and get paid to learn a skill. And as long as you are upfront with clear expectations that, hey, like I eventually probably want to do my own thing, an entrepreneur will grow you, and they will use you for the time they have you, because they know that you're going to leave. So they're going to abuse you and use you and push you hard, because that's actually what entrepreneurship is anyway. And so it just makes sense that they're going to push you while you're an employee of theirs. So, okay. Number four, this is the way I like to do it now. And again, not everyone has this resource when you first get started, but the point of you making money, the point of you being successful, is to be able to do this thing right here. This is how you acquire skills really quickly, and how you can acquire any skill on the planet is you just pay to play. So I'll tell you a little story about this here. Okay. So it was like 2020, or 2019 actually, and we had just bought 4 investment properties in 1 year, and I was rolling. I was rolling up and down an emotional roller coaster. That's what I was rolling. On the surface, it looked like I had it figured out, but internally, like I was a basket case. I was out of control. I was like, I don't feel successful. I don't know what I'm doing. I had money, I had time, but there was still something missing. And so I was like, I gotta figure this out. This doesn't make sense. I thought money was gonna solve my problems. I thought having more time was gonna solve my problems. And so I just was searching for answers. And that search led me to find Chris. And so Chris, he had it all, man. He had the businesses, he had the real estate, he had the family, and he had emotional intelligence. And I desired all those, especially I wanted to learn how to respond to my thoughts and feelings. I was like, I can't control these thoughts. I can't control these feelings. Like I want to be able to learn that skill. And so it was a unique skill that not many people have, or they talked about, or they could help me with. And so when I found Chris had that skill, I was like, this might be the only person that I know in this moment who literally has it all, right? Has everything that I'm looking for. And because it was such a unique problem, it required a unique solution. And so that required me to basically get as close to Chris as I possibly could, right? There wasn't a course, there wasn't a specific book that I could read. I needed like as much proximity to Chris as I possibly could. And turned out that solution was going to cost me $100,000. And when I first figured out how much it was going to cost me, I was like, ooh, I don't know, right? That's a lot of money. But I also recognized that how important that skill set was, and not only how much money was going to make me if once I learned it, but like, was it worth it for me to actually feel in control, to feel at peace? And, you know, at that time I was like 31 or 32 years old. I was like, this is a skill set that will serve me for the rest of my life. So even when I'm 80, the skill set of emotional intelligence, it will continue to serve me. And I was like, is that $100,000 really that much money when you spread it out over 80 years, right? Or not 80 years, over the next 50 years. So I'm 80 years old. I'm like, that seems like pretty cheap. So I was like, let's do it, right? Yeah, I knew it was worth it. So I wrote the check. And ironically enough, this program was called Have It All. And so I spent 2 years mentoring with Chris, and the growth, it was fast and furious. As many of you know, like growth is, when we talk about growth in the future, it's really fun. It's exciting. It's like, yes, I'm going to grow. When you talk about growth in the past, it was like, I'm so proud of it. I'm so grateful for it. See what I did. Look what I overcame. But in the present, you're looking around like, how do I get out of this? This sucks. This is painful. I didn't sign up for this. Please, like, let me out. Let me out. Like, I'm tapping out. And so through mentoring with Chris, I discovered how to become aware of my thoughts and feelings, right? I learned how to use time to make judgments about my thoughts and feelings. I learned that I could make judgments about my thoughts and feelings. And I practiced. I practiced my responses to my judgments, to my thoughts and my feelings. And through that, I became a much better human. And so, man, that is like one of my favorite ways to learn a skill is literally just to pay someone for the opportunity to learn a lifetime of wisdom. And so specifically in Chris's situation, like he's been learning the skill set for 2 decades. And I was able to shorten that time frame to a couple of years. And I think to me, the fact that I can now have that skill, again, I'll be able to use the skill till I'm 80 years old, plus hopefully I make it past 80, but you know what? Freaking worth it. Irony, as irony would have it, because my Chris, as a total like side tangent, he's the one who actually turned me on to the cleaning business, which we're talking about tonight. And so I'm going to share with you guys tonight the skills that I'm actually fulfilling on a cleaning service. And so that was a skill I did not have before starting this business. And so if you want to deliver a 5-star service, well, we're going to talk about how to do that tonight. So let's talk about framework number one, which is building $1 million cleaning business with zero cleaning experience. So when we first started a cleaning business, marketing systems, check, right? Sales systems, check. Cleaning systems, nowhere in sight. And so my marketing sales was high. I had tons of experience before. And I started the cleaning business. I was like, I can figure this out. But with cleaning experience, I had none. And so I definitely had doubts, but I was like, I'm pretty sure I can figure this out. Like, how hard can cleaning actually be? And now this is where I get eye rolls from everybody in here who are cleaners, right? And so this is where those doubts, they became realized, right? It's not as easy as I think, as I thought it was going to be. And so it was our third clean. I remember getting on or the end of the sales call, the gal said, hey, we agreed to the time and the date. She said, do you have a 4-wheel drive? And I was like, yeah, but that's the weird question to ask me, right? I said, why, right? Am I going to need it? And when I Googled this house, it was like 35 minutes from our home. It was just like tucked in the foothills. And there was like snow projected overnight, but you know, nothing too crazy. And so I was just like, it's fine. Like, we'll be totally fine. Again, it's our third clean, not knowing really anything about anything. I just said, yes, we can make it happen. So she said, okay, sounds good. Like, kind of like that. I was like, yeah, sounds good. And so I ended up estimating the clean for about 3 hours. And the next day, after it snowed a ton, Katie, my wife, was the one who did the cleaning. Well, it took her an hour and a half just to get to the house. She spent over 5 hours cleaning the house. And then she took another hour and a half getting home because she got stuck twice, once on the way up and once on the way back. But she got the job done, most importantly. Or so I thought. Until the next morning, I received a mirage of pictures from this owner of this house. And as you guys know, when you receive a mirage of pictures, it's usually not a good sign. She just sent pictures of window seals and baseboards and floors and kitchen and oven. And oh my gosh, I remember all the pictures. Like, just like, they just were flooding in. I was like, oh no, are these going to stop? And literally her first like words that she said was like, was she even there? And I think she said it half sarcastically, but maybe who knows, right? And so my stomach was like, oh my gosh. So I took ownership of the situation, and we ended up comping the clean. Like, we didn't charge the lady at all for that clean, but that wasn't really what made me uncomfortable. I had to have this conversation with my wife. I had to tell her that she sucked at cleaning. Oh, that was a fun conversation. And so the reality was that our best was not good enough. And because of that, like, we needed to do what was required. What was required was for us to actually become expert cleaners, for us to actually learn the skill and become great at it. Because as much as we knew how to market and sell, if we didn't actually fulfill the product, it was going to be a long uphill battle. And so I'm so grateful that Katie took that feedback and she used it as fuel instead of, you know, getting defensive and pointing outwards and like calling that lady, you know what? She said, I probably do suck at it. And she got into Facebook groups. She started watching YouTube videos. She bought courses and she literally became obsessed. She like got herself immersed with how do we get good at cleaning? It was funny because she would always tell me about, hey, like I'm inside this group and this girl said this thing. She's like excited to tell me all these things she was learning. And I was like, I mean, I don't, because I wasn't on the field. So I didn't really resonate with all those things. Right. But it was cool to see her get really excited about it. And so now, because of Katie, all that work, like less than 1% of the time does our company need to do correction cleans, right? And so I did this math right before this call. And in the past 3 months, we performed over 1,000 cleans. And we only performed 7 correction cleans, right? That's like 0.006% if you actually want to do the actual math on it. It's crazy, right? And so how did we go from literally having zero cleaning experience, having to comp our third clean ever, to now like we hardly ever get correction cleans? Well, we have SOPs, right? We have really good standard operating procedures. So curious, you guys down if I showed you these SOPs? You guys cool with that? I'll get the chat going here. So chat, yeah. You guys ready for it? Nah, Lucas says, nah. He says, nah, bro, I got it figured out. All the cleaners are so excited right now. It's awesome. Okay, so we have cleaning tech SOPs. So these SOPs are legit. And so they literally talk about everything that we do, right? So bathrooms, kitchen, bedrooms, common areas. How do we have videos, and we have SOPs for caddy organizations, like the caddy that they bring to the house. Like how do you organize that so you maximize your trips? You're not taking trips in and out all the time or from room to room. How to make beds, right? How to dress pillows, how to do really cool vacuum lines, right? So these are a few of the special SOPs that we have for our cleaner techs. And we talk about how to do windows and toilets and tubs and showers and mirrors and vanity counters and vanity sinks and baseboards, right? Like there's literally a process for everything. How to do floors and appliances, interior of the fridge, interior oven, microwave, stovetop, kitchen countertops, cabinets, black spots, sinks, doors, knobs, light fixtures, garbage, like all this, right? And so it's really cool that when you actually have an SOP, when there is a comment or a correction clean or a complaint, the first thing we do is we ask the cleaner, hey, did you follow the SOP? And if they say, yes, we followed it, then we go back and we look to see if it's inside our SOPs, that is the problem. Oh, actually there is no SOP on how to do vacuum lines. Boom. Let's create a standard operating procedure on how to do vacuum lines. Oh, there is no standard operating procedure on how to dress a bed, right? So now we all dress the bed the same way. And so those are great opportunities for us to be able to improve our service and get better every single time by using feedback from clients. Now, this side of the coin is if it is inside our SOPs, then we go back to the cleaner and say, hey, like it's right here, right? Right here, it shows you how to do vacuum lines. It shows you how you need to move through a house, how you do a kitchen, like what is included in this clean. And then that becomes the opportunity for us to keep our cleaners accountable to actually following our SOPs, you know? And as human beings, we always like to do things our own way, which is totally fine until somebody complains, right? Until the client complains, then it's on you, the cleaner, to say, hey, like we taught you the SOPs. Here it is. You didn't follow it. It's on you. So now you got to go back. You got to fix it. You don't get paid anymore for it. Man, that sucks. But next time, follow the SOPs, right? Now everyone is held accountable. So, and guess what? If it's our fault, we take responsibility and we eat the money. We eat it for the cleaner to go back and fix it. So again, it's all about accountability, which is super cool. Toolkit, right? So we talk about the tools we use. We talk about the products we use as well. Again, these are just for what we use. You guys will probably use different things. We just wanted to say, how do we just use the least amount of products, and how do we figure out how to maximize it so we're only buying a certain number of products, not trying to like have a specific product first. Like you can have supplies and products, but we try to keep things as simple as possible, right? And so here is what we use. Here's what we give our cleaners, and they have to use our stuff. We provide all the supplies. We provide all the tools for them, vacuums, Again, all the cleaners, everything, like move by all that to our cleaners, right? So they don't have to buy anything themselves. Yeah. So multi-purpose cleaners, specialty cleaners, cloths and sponges, like what we use for like vacuums and mops, things like that. So next thing we have is we have a cleaning checklist, right? And the cleaning checklist is specific to the type of clean that we're doing. So we have a deep clean checklist, right? So the cleaner gets this. Also, the client gets this as well, so they know exactly what we're going to clean, which is kind of cool to see. We have a general clean checklist. So if somebody is on maintenance clean or they're on reoccurring, then they get the general clean checklist, right? Again, our cleaner gets this as well. So both parties get it. We do move-in or move-out cleans. Here's our checklist as well for that. And then vacation rental checklist as well. So vacation rental checklist is a little bit unique because every single vacation rental is a little bit different. But we do have a standard operating procedure that our cleaning techs, they get trained on. But for each property, it actually has its own checklist. But from a training standpoint, each new trainer or each new cleaning tech sees this SOP for vacation rental turnovers. So just out of curiosity, anybody want access to these SOPs? That you literally can grab all these and see the full documents and use them. You guys can copy them, model them, just change the logo on them. You can just take what you like and put it into your SOPs. Anyone cool with that? Yeah, that's pretty cool. Amazing. And if you guys want to, I don't think Katie's on here, but give Katie some love. Katie is the one who did this. Like, I'm pretty transparent about this the whole time. I still have any experience, by the way. I just have really smart people around me, like my wife, like Kitty D, like Jay and Rhea and all the cleaners who are on our team, that like, they're the ones who develop these SOPs. And I think it's like really powerful is knowing that like, you do not have to be the smartest person in the room. And in fact, like I know I'm not the smartest person in the room, especially when it comes to cleaning. And so I'm looking for people who are smarter than me. And that's the reason why SOPs are so good, is because I'm not the one who created them. Because if I tried to be a person who had to know it all, these SOPs would suck. But I know they don't suck because our reviews are really good. Our client complaints are really low, and our business is very profitable. So with that being said, and our clients stay, which is pretty cool. So those are also other features of like, how do you know that your SOPs are good? So that being said, guys, and oops, what happened? Oh, I clicked on something. That's what happened. So here are inside the slides. So when you get the recording, these slides will be in the recording. You guys can like literally click all these links, these buttons, and you guys can access to all of these SOPs and these checklists. So if you guys are down with that, let me know. You guys cool with that? And we're just getting started, guys. We're just getting started. This is only framework number one. We got two more to go. So let's do this thing. Let's have some fun tonight. Okay. So how to make your schedule juggle the MVP of your team. So this is a fun one. So if you guys haven't started a cleaning company yet, or you guys have a cleaning company, then you guys know like how important the schedule juggler is. If you don't have a cleaning company yet, and you're still looking at it, well, the schedule juggler will be a very important person on your team. So and I know this firsthand because I saw Katie and I saw her very frustrated when she was in this position. when you get call outs from cleaners last minute, and then you get last minute cancellations from clients, it has a toll on you, right? And definitely is having a toll on Katie. And so playing the schedule juggler, I could tell, was not getting her excited. It wasn't getting her out of bed every single day. Like, I am so excited to play this role, right? Especially because, you know, she had been in the business for a while and she was looking to continue to elevate herself, and she was the bottleneck, right? She couldn't get herself out of the schedule juggler. And I just asked her a simple question. I said, why? Why have you got this off? Right? To me, on the outside, it looks really simple. It looks really easy. And she said, Logan, like, scheduling is complicated. It's not as easy as you think. I said, I agree, right? 100%. But still, like, why haven't you handed it off yet? And she's like, well, I don't know who could do it. I was like, oh, interesting. Who could do what? She said, be the schedule juggler, you dummy. Basically is what she said, right? Like, she didn't actually say that, but through her words. I was like, well, what the heck does a schedule juggler need to do? Right? Like genuinely curious, like, I've never done it before. I don't know. And she started rattling off what she did. And it, like, she was proud. She's like, this is what I do. I do this and this and this. When somebody cancels on the client side, I gotta do this. And then when I have a clean tech call out, I gotta do this. I was like, oh, that's really cool. Right? I didn't know any of that. I was like, where, well, like, what do you have this written down at? And she looked at me like, Oh, okay. I get what you're going at now, right? I see what I need to do. I was like, okay. And that's it. That was the end of that conversation. Well, 2 weeks later, Katie handed off the schedule juggler. And she hasn't played that role in years. And all she did, right? All she did, she just documented what she did. It really sometimes is that simple. Like, we like to make business really crazy, and there's lots of cool concepts out there, and there's lots of really cool like ways to spin things. But sometimes the simplicity, it doesn't rise to the level of greatness because it's just simple. But a lot of times, simple is what scales, and fancy is what fails. And so, just curious if you guys are interested, if I kind of walk you guys through a little bit about what she took from her head and she put it into documents and into procedures. You guys okay if I share some of that with you guys? I share with you a little about Katie's brain. I'm gonna share Katie's brain today. I didn't ask for her permission, so we'll see what happens. So the first thing that we did is we made a schedule optimization, a document. So it's like, okay, what are our ground rules for scheduling? Like, what are we looking for, right? And so we got a perspective of the cleaners, we got a perspective of the admin, and then of course we actually got the perspective of the clients as well. And then we're talking about hours. Like, what are our hours, right? So what's our box that we're fitting this in? Are we going from 8 to 5? Are we going from 7 to 6? Are we going Monday through Friday? And so understanding like what your box is. And we also created what's called a 6-hour rule, which means that if it's more than 6 hours, we don't have solo clean. So we have a solo clean model, but anything more than 6 hours, the 6 man hours specifically, we do teams, right? Because it can really beat a cleaner up to be at a house all day long. Kind of very similar to what I did with Katie at that third cleaning we did up in the mountains. Like, I got to beat up, right? We talk about breaks, right? So what do we allocate for breaks as far as between cleans? How many cleans are we doing a day? We're doing one clean a day, we're doing two cleans a day, we're doing three cleans a day. So again, we have a framework for that when we're looking at the schedule. And then what are our cleaning times? Like, do we start cleaning at 8 a.m. Do we start cleaning at 9 a.m. What's our afternoon clean time? Is it at 11, 12, or 1? Do we have a late afternoon time? Do we have like a 2, 3, or 4 afternoon time? And so again, like, we needed to put down what are our rules. That way we could see how to optimize our schedule. Okay. Next thing is correction cleans. So if a client is unhappy, right, what do we do? Like, what's the process? When we text our client after every clean, we ask them how the cleaning was. And again, sometimes we get Mirage pictures. Sometimes we get a complaint saying, I didn't see that the floors were done. I didn't see the bathrooms were done. They missed this, they missed that. How do we handle that, right? And so we have a process and a procedure for how do we go back? Do we discount the clean? And how does it work for the cleaner? Like, do they get paid for that? Do they not get paid for that? And so again, we have a process for how we handle correction cleans, because again, as good as your service is, there are always going to be disconnect between you and your clients. And so you need to have a process for it. Now, the goal is to minimize those, but you must have a process for it. So here's the process. And then call outs. So one of the unfortunate pieces of the business is that your cleaners, they will call out sometimes, right? And sometimes they call out last minute. Sometimes they will call out a couple days before, and you have a client on the schedule and you no longer have a cleaner. What do you do? What if you only have one or two cleaners? Then what do you do? Right? Like, we have a team of I think 11 or 12 cleaners at the moment. And so it's a juggle. It's always a juggling act. And so like, you need to have a process for it. Okay. And so we have a process for that right here. And so when you do have a call out, this is how we handle it. Okay. And then last minute cancellation. So what if a client cancels, right? Last minute, they say, oh, I got sick. I got COVID. I got this, I got that. Like, how do you handle that? Right. And so for a long time, we actually didn't have a process. And it hurt not only us as the business, but it hurt our cleaners because they only get paid when they're working, right? And so now we have a rule, a rule. We have a policy that we share with our client when they attempt to cancel within 48 hours. And the irony in this whole thing is that before we had this rule, this policy, that clients would just cancel and it would be cool. But since we implemented this policy, can you guys guess how many clients actually cancel within those 48 hours, knowing that they have to pay for half of the cleaning and they don't get a cleaning? Can you guys guess? Not very many. Somehow they always seem to make it work, right? And again, the value in the service we provide is it's a done for you service, which means the client actually doesn't have to do anything. So it's not like they have to do it with us, or they do it on their own. Like we like, it's on us to do it. So that's where you have to pull, again, when you know your business, you can say, here's our policy. And we also to explain them why, right? Because our cleaners, they have a set schedule. And when you cancel, like then our cleaner's sitting there, right? And that could have been filled with somebody else. And so when we explain to them why we have the cancellation policy, all of them just say, okay, I'll make it work. I'll figure it out, right? Crazy. Well, and as a bonus, we have a little script there as well. Okay. So you guys want these? You guys want these SOPs for how to actually optimize your schedule, how to handle callouts, how to handle last minute cancellations. Again, you guys can, if you guys don't have these at all, you guys can literally just like copy these. Or you can take what you like and put it into your existing SOPs. So if you guys like that, let me know. The chat's actually been working. It's been working tonight. I see people in there. I see some feedback. It's good to see. Yeah. I like it. It's so funny because cleaning, the actual service is like the thing that to me is like, I mean, it's cool. Don't get me wrong, but like, it seems like everyone is about it. So I like it. All right. So when you guys go to the slides, when you guys get the recording, the replay inside your membership area, you can click on these links and you have access to these SOPs. So hopefully you guys utilize those and get value from those. If you do, again, let me know. You guys can reach out to me on the Facebook. So you guys can tag me on Instagram. Let me know that you guys are using this information, that it's working. It's cool to see that you guys are taking this and you're utilizing it and making it work. So let's talk about framework number three. So how to create leaders so your business can grow without you. This is what it's all about, boys and girls. So it took me 3 years to delegate myself out of my fitness business, right? It took me a long time. But when we started the cleaning business in October 2020, like we legit only had 6 weeks, okay? Why? Because we had a trip to Austin, Texas, that we were going to be down there for the entire month of December, December 1st to, we were flying back like December 20th or 29th, like right New Year's. And we needed this business to continue to run without us, right? Like we were not going to be in Bozeman, Montana. And so we got to figure out how to make this thing hum and haw without our physical labor, which was both exciting and maybe a little silly at the same time, but it is what it is. And so how we got this business started is Kitty Cleaned and I did sales, right? We worked double time because not only did we have to learn this, we had to learn these roles. Like I was learning the sales process for the cleaning company. Kitty was learning the cleaning process for the cleaning company. But not only that, but we were documenting the whole time, right? And so I created a sales system and Kate created a cleaning system. But that wasn't all we did, because we also recognized after that that we didn't want to be the ones who continued to hire salespeople or continue to hire cleaning techs. So additionally, we created SOPs for how to train salespeople and how to train cleaning techs, okay? And so this actually allowed us to make our very first employees also our very first trainers. When I handed off the sales, I actually never trained another salesperson again. And when Katie handed off the cleaning, she never had to train another cleaning tech again. Okay. Because we did not only the first step, we did the second step as well. Okay. And so this kept Katie and I from actually becoming the bottleneck of growth in our business. Right. And most importantly, here's what it did, is it gave our staff the opportunity to become teachers, to become leaders, become part of the process of building something really, really cool. And when we're on our team meetings, specifically our vision meetings every single week, like I look at the people who were there and the people who were there from the beginning, and they started out in different roles and they kept on growing, they kept on evolving. And the reason, one of the reasons that they were able to do that is because Katie and I got out of the way. And we said, you know what? I think you guys can do this better than we can. In fact, I know you can do this better than I can do it, because you have the attention, because you have the bandwidth, right? Like Katie and I have a million things that we have going on that we have to do to run a business. And you have one thing, right? Or maybe one or two things, and you can make this your baby. And so when we gave our staff that opportunity, that's how we've been able to grow, is because Katie and I aren't the ones who are putting it on our backs. We're not the ones who have to be the masters. We don't have to be the smartest people in the room. We're able to build a team. So if you guys are interested in seeing the trainer SOPs that have allowed us to onboard, I literally just did this math. I went to our QuickBooks. We've onboarded 68 staff members in the last 2 years, right? There's 68 names on our payroll. So if you guys are curious on how we did that, you're about to get it, right? You're about to get that. So how do you train a trainer, right? So we have trainer tech SOPs. So when a clean tech comes in, we give them opportunity to learn how to be a training tech, right? So they get the opportunity to teach what they were taught when they came in. They get to teach that to the next person, right? And there's really cool incentives for them that they get paid more. I mean, it's not a ton, but they get paid some more. But really what they do is they get significance. So it means like, hey, like I help, right? They feel part of the growth. They feel part of the journey. They feel part of somebody else. Like think about what you guys, like when you guys have something that you really, really enjoy, you really like, or something you're really, really good at, like how much do you love to share with people? How much do you love to teach people? Like even people who don't want you, who don't want your help, don't want your advice. Sometimes you just give it to them, right? Think about this from a cleaner, someone who's really good at it, someone who has pride in their work. Like when you give them an opportunity to actually teach somebody else what they know and their skill sets, like, do you think that's going to make them feel good about themselves? It's going to make them feel like they're more bought into the culture, that they're more bought into the success of the company, right? So when you understand that, then it's really, really cool when you give people opportunities to be in leadership positions. And so the first part of our trainer tech SOPs is the goal. Like, what is the goal for the trainer tech? And the goal is to have the new Sparkle Boss, which we call our cleaning techs, we call them Sparkle Bosses. We try to get them to be solo cleaners after 5 days, right? So 5 days of training, that's the goal. And that's what everything we're working towards is, how do we get this person who's brand spanking new on their own in 5 days? And so we have a prerequisite of what the cleaner tech, what the new clean tech needs to do. But we also have a training portal for our training techs as well, right? They must show that they actually have a proven track record. They must be good at their job, of course. And they must be an effective communicator with our staff and office, because they do work a lot with our staff and office, especially in the onboarding process. So there's also a pre-training process as well that we have the training techs understand and know that they share with the new Sparkle Bosses, with the new cleaning techs, right? So when you set yourself up for setting yourself up before you go into a house with making sure you have all your supplies, everything ready to rock and roll, can just make the whole process seem a lot more seamless. And so we'll teach that, right? In office training is in there as well. We teach them how to, how to stack pay, what supplies we use, how to do laundry. And so a laundry service that comes and does all our stuff. So we teach them like when they have dirty rags and towels, what to do with it. We teach them if they're running low on inventory, the process and system for how to ensure that they get stocked up. We teach them how to do maintenance, teach them how to use ZenMaid, which is our CRM. And so all these things are critical for them to do their job really well. And so our training tech, again, they obviously must know what they're doing, but then they are going to be the one who end up teaching our new cleaning techs how to do this. But again, they must know how to do it first. Okay. So we teach them how to do this process as well. And then when they're actually out in the field, so that's all in the office and now in the field training. So now this is where the trainer is going to be hip to hip with the new cleaning tech. And so we have a process that we work through, five-day training process, where there's basically a combination of observing and actually doing some training, and then they're doing some overseeing and then they're checking work, right? And so this is how we do a hybrid model of, they do some stuff on their own, where they do office stuff on their own, and then they come in here and we actually do, they go hip to hip with our new Sparkle Bosses, with our new cleaning techs, and just ensuring that they're doing a great job. So they're teaching the new cleaning tech how to approach into her home. They teach them how to communicate with the client. Again, it's just like teaching them how to do the job really well. So it gives the responsibility of the trainer tech. It's a big responsibility. It really is, right? Even what to do once they leave the home. Okay. And one of the coolest things that we've implemented through this whole process is that every single day during those 5 days, the trainer is actually doing a report on their trainee. And so this is just a couple of questions. There's a full report here, but it just gives us in the office a really good idea of like how they're doing out there. Because again, like all we know is that they're out in the field with our, with our, with our training tech, we're not sure how they're doing. We're not sure if we're seeing red flags. We're not sure if they're picking it up. Like, are they late? Are they picking their nose? Right? Are they doing a terrible job? Are they rude? And so this form has been so good, because now every time we have a trainee, like, I get this report and I just look through it. I'm like, oh, okay. Like, no red flags. Like, that's always the first thing I look for, is like, you can see there's a question at the bottom, is like, was there any red flags? And when I see there's no red flags, I feel it's like awesome. When I see there's red flags, I'm like, oh, day one red flag, not a good sign, right? So good report, really cool. And then the trainers are also taught on how to prevent damage. So how do we prevent from damaging wood floors and ovens and stainless steel and wall art, knickknacks, furniture, and stone, right? So again, like, they learn this and they teach it to our cleaning techs, our new cleaning techs. Obviously, knowing the pH levels of certain cleaning products, knowing what's alkaline, neutral, and acidic. There's a chart here that they all know and they must pass a test on. And then just general time standards. Again, this is very general. It's going to be dependent on what type of clean they're doing, but it's just a good idea for everybody to know a general idea of how long it takes to finish, you know, a room, whether it be a kitchen, bathroom, bedroom, and living area. Especially for somebody who has no cleaning experience whatsoever, it just gives them a general time frame. So they're like, oh my gosh, it took me an hour and a half to do a kitchen. It's like, okay, well, why, right? Are you really that slow? Is the kitchen really that dirty? And we can just ask more questions because we have a general idea of like how long something should take. So, I love asking the question, and I love honestly seeing the answer. So I'm just going to ask it again. I love seeing lots of yeses. I love seeing, I saw one no. I saw Lucas said no to one thing. So Lucas, you're off the team, bro. You don't get one of these guides. But if you guys want these guides, you guys want these SOPs for, you know, Trainer Tech SOPs, trainer's report, preventing damage, cleaning product pH levels, time standards. Let's see it. Yeah. Looks as out, he says. Awesome. So again, like, you guys get access to all these, and again, use them if you don't have anything, like, amazing. This is amazing first draft. If you already have a process, then like, implement this in where it makes sense, right? Find where you're weak and put this in. So hopefully you guys get, I mean, I'm sure you guys get value from this. I think it's really cool. For me, like, I don't know, I'm not an expert in cleaning, but when I see these, I'm like, oh my gosh, like, this is really cool. Like, I love seeing this. I see how we're able to do a really good job. It's because these SOPs, these system processes are like really, really good.